Welcome to Being Eve. I'm your host, Casey Alexis, and this podcast is designed for the everyday woman who seeks to do more than just survive. You want to thrive. The goal is to inspire, empower, and encourage you as you find commonalities within my story and the stories of some extraordinary guests. Join me as we dive into this brand new episode. Hey there, ladies. Welcome back to Being Eve. I'm so excited that you all are able to join me today for this very important episode that I have entitled The Key to Change. You know, one of the greatest, I guess, blessings of being a podcaster, and not just any podcaster, but a faith-based podcaster, is being able to journey with you all. You know, as I sit back and reflect, I'm like, wow, those of you who have stuck beside me, you know what I'm saying? Y'all stuck beside me since 2019, have seen the progression and the growth of this podcast, have seen the progression and the growth of my womanhood, have seen the progression and the growth of my faith. And I think that's exciting, right? That if you've hung out this long, you understand and know what this journey has been for me and how I have opened myself up to share this journey with you all in hopes that it will encourage you, empower you, inspire you, and equip you to begin to see your life through God's point of view. Because if that's not happening, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing if you guys really don't see it and begin to experience it for yourself? I don't just want to be on here talking my life away. I truly want to impart in you all this journey that I'm on, that it also encourages you to begin to see life through God's point of view, which is the greatest place that any of us can see ourselves from, right? Seeing ourselves through God's eyes. And if you have not heard, that's just a little, you know, plug-in for my spoken word, through God's eyes. If you have not heard that spoken word, I encourage you to do a quick search on either my Instagram, Facebook, or even on the podcast. You know, search, type in Through God's Eyes, and you'll be able to hear that amazing spoken word that I can call it amazing because it didn't come from me. It came from the mouth of God. And so I encourage you to tune into that because you will begin to understand and see and be empowered in the way God actually sees you, because you were made in his image and in his likeness. And so all of this, everything that I do, it is to encourage you and empower you, equip you and inspire you to begin to live from that place, right? Okay, so back into the topic of this actual episode. I entitled it The Key to Change because one of the things that I realized after last week's episode, as I shared my heart with you all, I realized that some of you may seem or may have taken it a little bit rough, you know, because I was coming from a place where it's do or die for me, you know, because this world is do or die. You either do or you die. Simple as that. And it may not be a quick death, but it's slow and it's tormenting when you're not living the life that God has purposed you to live. It is slow and it is tormenting. And so when I shared from my perspective last week and I shared the fire in my belly that I had, I could understand how some may listen to it and be like, wow, this is a bit much. You know, some may even take it and say that it's religious. But I wanted to make sure that before I get into the topic at hand, is to highlight the fact that if you hadn't listened to the episode last week, please do. I encourage you to do so. I shared it with that much fire and intensity because I understand the season that we're in and I understand what's happening in the world right now. It calls for it, right? It calls for that fire and intensity. We are no longer in a time and space where we can laugh and sit with things that used to be okay, right? It used to be okay to do certain things. God used to wink at those things. And I think there's an actual scripture that talks about, you know, there are times God will wink at some of the things that you do and let it slide. But then there you come into a season that he doesn't wink anymore. And we're in that season where God is not winking at the things that we used to do anymore. And now there's a season of judgment coming. And I'm intense about it. And I'm intense about you getting to that place of righteousness and holiness and sitting in your seat in heavenly places and remaining there, because I have a sense of the season that's coming, and it's not going to be a good season for people who are straddling the fence. It's not going to be a good season for those of you who have one foot in the world and one foot out. It's not going to be a good season if you're playing with God and playing with your life. The season is coming upon us where the real is going to be seen and the fake is going to be seen, and the fake aren't going to last, because this season that's approaching will be a season that will test your faith. And if your both feet is not planted in the word of God and it's not planted in his presence, you're not going to last. And if you've been looking at the news, if you've been looking and reading and understanding the seasons, because Jesus said we must understand the seasons, right? We must understand what's going on in the atmosphere. If you've been paying attention to the news, you're hearing about drought. You're hearing about famine. And it's not just in Africa and, you know, certain places that we normally hear these things happening. It's worldwide. They're talking about famine and drought in the UK, famine and drought here in California, in the States. They're putting restrictions on folks that live on the West Coast. And by the grace of God, some of us have seen more rain than others. But guess what? If one part of the United States is hurting, we all hurt, because we are in the United States, right? We're not in our own lands and territories. And so that's why I speak with such intensity and such force. And I'm like, listen, don't leave your heavenly places. Don't leave those seats where God has placed you to play around and dabble in the world. Those things are no longer going to suffice. Those things are no longer going to keep you. And the world is sending warning shots. They're sending firing shots, right? For Beyonce, and I think I ended the episode last week, 2 weeks ago, talking about Beyonce and that whole Church Girl record that she released. For her to release a record like that, right? Those are warning shots to the body of Christ. Because at the end of the day, it's always us they play around with. They don't play around with Buddha. They don't play around with the Muslims, right? Because the Muslims don't play around with them physically, right? So who do we come after? We come after the one true God and those who believe in him. We come after the girl that's sitting in the church. We come after her because they're the ones that we want to subdue, because they're the ones that really have the power and the authority to have dominion on this earth. So I don't take lightly the things that people in the world do anymore, because I see it as warning shots. Oh, you're trying to come for me and my people. You know, you're trying to come for us. There's a record out that you specifically make for us because you want us to lose focus. You want our eyes and ears to be planted on things below rather than things above. So I don't wink at those things anymore. I don't laugh at them like I used to. And that's why I came with such an intensity and such a fire, because the world is not playing. So we can't play either. They're sending us warning shots. So as people of God, what we have to do is begin to rise up to the occasion and begin to rest in the place that God has called us to rest in, and begin to pray, begin to decree and declare, begin to operate in that space that God has called us to operate in. And that is to subdue and have dominion. And so that's our job. Jesus said, while he's away, right, while he's handling things in the kingdom, for us to be down here handling things on earth. And he says, occupy until I come. So this is our time, y'all, to rise up and occupy. So if you hear me talking with such an intensity and such a force, that's exactly where that's coming from. Okay, anywho, I digress for a moment to talk a little bit about that, because I wanted to ensure that you all knew the direction I'm going in now, because I can go there and then some people be like, whoa, why is she so intense? Where is that coming from? And so I just wanted to share my heart on that. But anyway, Okay, so 2 weeks ago when I recorded the episode in regards to focusing on submission, right? Surrender and submitting to the word of God and what God is calling us to do and who he's called us to be and literally surrendering our wants and desires for his, I forgot to highlight one key point. And it's amazing how when you forget to do something, how the Holy Spirit will reel you in and say, hey, you forgot that, but he will reel you in by way of experience. So one morning I got up and I felt such a strong pull in my prayer time to repent, Now the word repent means, right? Merriam-Webster, if you look at the term repent, it says to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life, right? To turn from sin. That literally is what repentance means, to turn from sin, to turn away from wrongdoing. It also says to feel regret or contrition, to change one's mind, right? Or it also says to cause to feel regret or contrition, to feel sorrow, regret, or contrition for. That is the term of repent. And so as God pulled me into that direction of repentance, I began to just repent for things that I was doing, things that I didn't even realize that I was doing, because sometimes when you live this Christian life and you're doing day-to-day things, you don't even catch yourself committing certain things that displeases the Holy Spirit that is inside of you. There, we can have the ability to grieve the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit has emotions, right? The Bible says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Am I missing one? I'm probably missing one. self-control. Most of all of those fruits are emotions. And so we're capable and able of grieving the Spirit of God from within us. So oftentimes we can just be living life not realizing that we're grieving the Holy Spirit and we're doing certain things that he is not pleased with. And the Holy Spirit is within us, but he is a person. And because he is within us, it is our job to follow his lead, not the opposite direction, right? Because as Christians, as believers, we've been commissioned to do a work. Jesus said before he left here, he looked at the disciples, which, you know, are us. He said to them at the time, including us, he said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. But he didn't just leave us to do it on our own within our flesh. He actually sent a gift. He sent a gift called the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the comforter, the one that leads us into all truth. In fact, the Bible says that it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that leads others to, that leads people to Christ, not ourselves, not our personalities, not our fine words, not our gifts, talent, and abilities. It is the Holy Spirit that does the work. And he uses us, the gifts, talents, and abilities to lead them, to catch them, right? To be fishers of men. And so with that being said, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit is inside of us, using us to pull people into Christ, right? If we grieve him, if we hurt him, and we don't listen to him, we're not actually being used to our fullest potential in what God has called and created us to be. And so it's absolutely necessary to have a posture of repentance, to always be in a state of repentance. When you look at the word posture means the position or bearing of the body, whether characteristic or assumed for a special purpose. A state or condition at a given time, especially with respect to capability in a particular circumstance. A conscious, mental, or outward behavioral attitude. And so those are the two things I want to highlight as far as, well, actually all three definitions are important. We see the position, okay, bearing the body, whether characteristic or assumed for purpose, the pose, the state or condition, and a conscious mental or outward behavioral attitude. As believers, we always want to be in a posture of repentance. always ready and willing to live in that space, because that is in fact the key to a surrendered life in Christ, is a posture of repentance, being in that space, living in that space, always ready and willing to repent, turn away from our sin, turn away from the things that we're doing, turn away from the things that have been pulling us towards the world, and saying, no, I'm going to live the life that God has purposed and called me to live. And in order to do that, I have to let the Holy Spirit lead. And if the Holy Spirit is not leading because I'm leading, I'm grieving him. If the Holy Spirit is not guiding me into all truth, I was sitting down the other day and I was like, Holy Spirit, because I be talking to him like that. He's my best friend. He really is my best friend in this season and forevermore. That will never change. But I was sitting down and talking to him. I said, Holy Spirit, and I had tears in my eyes. I said, if you are not with me when I pray, what is the point of prayer? Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. If he's not there with me, what is the point of prayer? What is the point of reading my word? I need him for this thing. We need him, y'all, for this thing called Christianity. We can't do this thing called Christianity without the Holy Spirit. And I'm near tears and emotional because that's one of the areas that, as the body of Christ, as the church, that we have failed to empower and equip and educate people of God about, and that is the Holy Spirit. We need him to do this thing called Christianity. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you have been having a religion. You need the Holy Spirit to have a relationship with God. There is no relationship with God without the Holy Spirit. What you have without the Holy Spirit is religion. You're just doing things out of practice and out of just habit. But it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit leading you into all truth, what do you have? What do you have? It is so imperative. Y'all, read John chapter 14, where Jesus talks to his disciples about the Holy Spirit, where he introduces them to who he is and what he's going to give them and allow them to do on earth as it is in heaven. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no on earth as it is in heaven. Do you understand? Because the Holy Spirit is what takes information from heaven and brings it down to us. The Holy Spirit is the one that is actively doing that all day, every day. So you see how in the Old Testament, there used to be tons of angelic appearances, like the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary, giving her the message, Elizabeth giving her messages, all throughout the Old Testament and the New, there were angelic appearances. But now we may not have them as often as they did back then because we have the Holy Spirit literally inside of us, leading us into all truth that is coming from the heavens, from God, sharing that information to us consistently, giving us understanding and equipping us for the seasons that we will be living out on earth, ensuring that we're not walking around blind. Without the Holy Spirit, y'all, we would do this Christian thing completely blind. And that's no way to live this Christian life. That's no way to live this Christian life. And that's why I say the Holy Spirit is my best friend. He is my everything. He is my all in all. I see him like that as I see the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when I explain the Trinity, because I know I'm saying a lot, and some of you may be on here and not know that God is in three forms, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When I speak of the Holy Spirit, I'm speaking about them all, but the Holy Spirit is like I like to explain to my kids, to explain the Trinity. The Trinity is like water. Water can be in all three forms, gas, liquid, and solid, but at the end of the day, it's still water. It's just in three different forms. That's the best way I explain the Trinity, even to my children. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is all one God, but they three forms. And so the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God that Jesus gifted us with when he departed, is the one that literally, as the Bible says, leads us into all truth. So without the Holy Spirit living in the world, the spirit of this world with the lowercase g, which is the god of this world, Satan, imagine living in this world with the spirit of this world, with the god of this world, lowercase g, Satan, who the Bible says, Jesus said out of his own mouth, is the father of lies. Without the Holy Spirit, guess what you have? You have lies. You have darkness. You don't have truth, because the Holy Spirit is what leads us all as believers to truth. And so it is imperative that we always have a posture of repentance in order to surrender ourselves and submit ourselves to the will of God. Because without repentance, we will always constantly be in a space, living in a space of grieving the Holy Spirit. Because we live in this flesh, we live in this body, and this body, this flesh, constantly wants to do things that are opposite of what the Spirit of God wants to do. Your flesh wants to sit down and watch Netflix for hours upon hours on end. Your flesh doesn't want to pick up the Bible. Your flesh doesn't want to, you know, exercise. And I'm talking about me when I say your as well. So I'm not trying to point the finger at you guys, right? The flesh doesn't want to do that. The Bible says that our flesh is an enemy to God. They are constantly at war. When you read Romans chapter 8, it breaks that down. Those who live by the Spirit and those who live by the flesh, right? It's a constant war between the two. And that's why you always got to feed yourself the things of the Spirit, being in the presence of God. And it's hard to do that if you don't have a posture of repentance. That is, in fact, the key to change is repentance. You cannot change without a repented posture. You cannot change and become the person that God wants you to be if you're not living a life of repentance. It's really a lifestyle. It's a posture. It is a place. It is a state of being, living in that space of repentance. And so when I woke up that morning and God just imparted in me a strong urge to repent, I was like in tears, y'all, because it was just so heavy upon me repenting. And not only for repenting for me, my family, my husband, my children, the Lord actually had me start repenting for the United States, for the nation. And so I'm going to share these 10 things with you all that hopefully that you all will grab and begin to repent in your prayer time for this nation. And you're probably like, well, Casey, why do I have to repent for the United States? Well, I want to encourage you that we live in this nation. We're raising children in this nation. And we want to have a posture of repentance for the things that we have as a nation have done, as a church, the things that we have allowed. Because the reason why we're seeing some of the things that we're seeing is not because the world is doing the world. It literally is because the church was not doing the church. We left our place of subdue and dominion, and we allowed ourselves to be subdued. And we allowed ourselves to be dominated. And because of that, we are seeing the fruits of madness in our nation. We are seeing famine. We are seeing drought. We are seeing situations in our government take place. And it's because we, as a people, were doing things that we were not supposed to be doing. We sinned against God as a nation, as a people. So as I share these 10 things, because I asked God, literally, I said, Father God, what are the 10 things that I need to repent for this nation? What are the 10 things that I need to repent for the United States? And he by the grace of God and all his goodness and mercy that he extends towards us as his children, he began to share those 10 things with me. And so I want you to get a pen and a paper out right now and begin to write down these 10 things and begin to pray them as well. We need to repent for the things that we have. We need to cry out to God for mercy. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us so that what is coming, that he will have mercy and grace upon us as a nation, because we have children here. We have family. We have loved ones. We have people that are pregnant right now that we know, that we don't want them going through a hardship of a famine and lack of water. You know what I mean? We want to thrive. And so we don't want judgment on this land. And if God can hear his people crying out to him in repentance, prayerfully, that will subside his judgment and he will have mercy. And we have scripture for that, right? We have scripture for that. And I know a lot of us heard this scripture during COVID. We heard it a lot. But let me tell you, COVID was nothing compared to what we're going to see if we don't begin to repent and have a posture of repentance in this world. And as I share these 10 things, you may not live in the United States of America, but I encourage you to grab these 10 things for your nation and begin to repent for them as well. Okay? So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves," that's a posture. Humble is a posture. "Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Remember, repent means to turn from sin, to change your mind and turn from their wicked ways. "Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Y'all, we need the Lord God to heal our land right now. We need the Lord God to send the rain. We need the Lord God to have mercy, grace upon this land, upon our nations, upon our families and our children. We need to have a heart posture of repentance. We need to be in that posture in this season that God may hear us. Hear us from heaven and begin to have mercy upon us and heal our land. So y'all, as I share these 10 things, please write them down and begin to pray these things every day you can, and repent. Repent. Repent for your doing in those things. Repent for things that you have allowed. Repent for things that you didn't say when you shouldn't have said them. Repent for leaving your place in heavenly places. Repent, y'all. Have that posture every single day that you can, so you don't grieve the Holy Spirit and you're not walking around here blind and deaf as a Christian. To be blind and deaf as a Christian, and I'm not talking about physically blind and deaf, I'm talking about spiritually blind and deaf as a believer, is dangerous. It is absolutely dangerous. And so if you've grieved the Holy Spirit, now is the time to repent so that he can indwell you and fill you once again, so that you can begin to hear his voice, see what he wants you to see, hear what he wants you to hear, so that you can begin to live the life that God has called and purposed you to live. All right, y'all, let's get into these 10 things. The 10 prayer points for our nation. 1, repent for our rebellion against the will of God for our nation. We have rebelled against God in the ways that we've lived. You may say to yourself, "Well, Casey, I didn't operate in a space of rebellion." Listen, we all have at one time or another have rebelled against the will of God for our lives. And so therefore, repent for that, right? And if you've been squeaky clean, repent anyway, because one great example of that is in Daniel, and I believe it is chapter 9, where Daniel took the heart posture of repentance for all of Israel, for the things that the Israelites have done. His hands may have been squeaky clean, but he took the hot posture of repentance so that God could have mercy upon his nation for the rebellion and for the things that they have done that was outside of the will of God. And when you rebel, you live a lifestyle that is outside of what God has called for you to live. And so many of us have done that. And you may know someone that's doing that now. Repent on their behalf. Take that heart posture where you intercede for your loved ones and repent. Intercede for this entire nation and repent for the rebellion that we have taken part of and that others have taken part of as well. The second thing that we need to pray about is to repent for our silence. Many of us have been silent at one time or another when we should have spoken up, when we saw ungodly things happening, even right before us, right? When people have done or said things right in front of us that we knew was sin or that was ungodly, and we said nothing. We sat silently while our mouths were under arrest of ungodly authority. So we need to repent for that. We need to have a heart posture. Father, forgive us for our silence as believers, for not standing up and standing for what's right and speaking against the ill that we have seen in this world. We just would allow these things to take place rather than speaking the truth of God's word over the situation. Many of us have seen what transpired over 2020 when COVID was at its highest point and churches closed down while some churches, you know, stood up and they spoke up. Many churches sat silently while the church was persecuted and shutting down. But liquor stores and Planned Parenthood and Walmart and all those places were seen as essential. But the church, what brings life to the world, was silence. We need to repent for allowing ourselves to remain silent by ungodly authority when we should have been speaking up. The third thing we need to repent for, being unwilling vessels. And what do you mean by that, Casey? Well, that we would yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to repent for not following the Holy Spirit's lead. When we lead and we don't follow, we cause friction with the Holy Spirit, like I spoke about earlier. We cause him to be grieved because the Holy Spirit has a work to do through us. He leads, we follow. So we need to repent for being unwilling vessels. We need to repent and ask God to forgive us for not yielding to the Holy Spirit, turning from that sin, turning from that wicked way, and begin to yield to his voice and what he has called for us to do. The fourth thing that we need to repent for is not submitting to godly authority. A lot of us have left the church because we claim church hurt, which some of us have been church hurt, but that does not mean that God does not put people over us to lead us. Everyone has a place in the body of Christ. We have our place, and God has the place for the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher. He has a place for every single person, and he has also given us leadership, godly leadership. And we have to repent for leaving the church and not submitting to godly leadership. You may be saying to yourself, well, Casey, I didn't leave my church. You may be saying to yourself, I'm submitted to my authority. Repent for those who have. We need to be on one accord. In the book of Acts, right, we see that the church moved on one accord, one mind and one heart. They moved under one spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is taking the lead, we follow him. And so we need to repent for everyone, right? Not just our own self, but for everyone, for not submitting to godly authority, leaving our coverings, leaving the things that God has called for us to and places that God has called for us to be because of our own foolishness, our flesh. Sometimes it's your flesh that causes these situations. It's not always the pastor and the leader, y'all. So we have to repent for that and ask God to heal our hearts, to heal our minds, to heal our souls, right? So that we can begin to submit to godly authority again. 9 times out of 10, y'all, we submitted to ungodly authority because we were being led by the Holy Spirit. We were being led by the flesh. That person looked nice. They had a nice car. The church was nice and big. Just saw things in them that you liked and not necessarily what the Holy Spirit desired for you. And that's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit of God. The fifth thing that we need to repent for is discernment. that we would be able to judge the wicked from the righteous. Many of us lack discernment, and we need to repent for that, for lacking discernment. Where some of us are not able to discern the wicked and the righteous. And we can see that by the people that we put in government. I'm not going to get into Republican or Democrat, because at the end of the day, it does not matter. If you don't have discernment, you're going to still pick someone that is full of the devil. You have spiritual discernment by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. He equips you and strengthens your muscles to be able to discern right from wrong. You are able to discern who is righteous and who is full of the devil. And the person doesn't necessarily have to be a Christian. They just have to be willing to submit to righteousness. There are plenty of people in this world that do not subscribe to Christianity, but they know right from wrong. And so you need a man or a woman in leadership in places of governmental authority that know right from wrong. So if we are able to discern, we're able to see beyond our own flesh, our own eyes, and our thoughts and imaginations, and we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean unto our own understanding, we will discern godly authority. We will discern right from wrong. We will discern the evil from the righteous. The sixth thing that we need to repent for is the church not being unified. For a while, we have allowed the spirit of the world to come into the churches and bring division. You know, the church itself is battling with racism. That should not even exist in the body of Christ. That should not exist in any of our churches, the spirit of racism. It should not be there at all. And so if your church is thriving off of that demonic spirit, you need to run from that place and submit yourself to godly authority who will kick that spirit out of their church. The spirit of racism, the spirit of division, sexism, any sort of ism that is ungodly does not belong into the church. And so we need to repent for that. Having a spirit of division. We cannot operate under the spirit of this world and expect God to move in our lives, y'all. The seventh thing that we need to repent for is our families. The family breakdown. We need restoration back in the families. We need the Holy Spirit back at the center of our homes, leading us and guiding us to be husbands and wives after God's own heart, leading us and guiding us so that we can parent our children in this world. We need God back at the center of our houses. We need him sitting at the dinner table with us. We need him equipping us and teaching us to raise up godly children. And so we need God back in our family. So we need to repent for kicking God out of our homes, for kicking him out of the center of our families, for putting our television and our iPads and our social medias and our cell phones above him. We need to put those, when we get home, we just need to put those cell phones aside. And I'm speaking to myself right now as well, that when I'm home with my children, when they're out of school, just interacting with them, that phone needs to go away. So we need to repent for that, the breakdown of the family, and pray for restoration and having our families back to the heart of God. Number eight, we need to repent for sacrificing lives for the God of money, aka mammon. In the United States of America, we've done that. We've done that, y'all, and maybe in other nations as well, but I know that's real here in the United States, where we will sacrifice lives for money. We will sacrifice children for money. The abortion industry is a money system, y'all. See how much money the abortion industry used to bring in before Roe versus Wade was overturned. It's a billion-dollar industry. Pharmakia, billion-dollar industry. These things are literally sacrificing lives for money. And this nation thrives off of that. And we need to repent for that. We need to repent for sacrificing lives, the lives of children, the lives of men and women, the lives of those who are poor, the lives of the homeless, the lives of the orphan, the lives of the widow. For money, we need to repent for that. The ninth thing that we need to do is repent. Our churches used to be a place where people could run into and find help and support and deliverance and salvation and healing from sickness and disease. But a lot of our churches became dens of thieves. It became about mammon. It became about some men and women building up their own kingdom rather than the kingdom of God. And so we need to repent for that. We need to repent that we allow that in the church, that we need to get back to the heart of God and back to the church being a place of refuge, that our nation also used to be a place of refuge. The United States used to be a place of refuge. It used to be a nation that people would run to from religious persecution, that people would run to from all forms of persecution. And we've segued from that and we've become a monster of greed and totally defiling other nations for greed. We became so different from what we were originally formed for. And so I pray that we will repent for that, for not being the place of refuge that God created us to be. The 10th and final thing that we need to repent for was being a compromised church. We compromised, y'all, a lot. We compromised. We made concessions. We sat down at the table of the enemy and gave things away rather than holding our ground and saying, no, you won't take this area. You won't have this area. We need to go back to being an uncompromised church. So repent for making compromises. Repent for allowing yourself, your neighbor, anybody, repent. Everyone needs to repent for compromising our faith and our belief for the systems of this world. We need to be uncompromising, making no concessions, inflexible, unyielding to the world. We need to live a life of Christianity that is no defects, because Jesus Christ is coming back for a bride without spot or blemish. That is the word of God. Can't live a life that is full of compromises and be a bride without spot or blemish. It is important that we repent for being a compromised church. And this is Bible, y'all. If you go back to the book of Joshua, and you'll see towards the end of the book where the people of Israel began to get the lands, right? Began to occupy certain territories. Towards the end, they started to make concessions with the nations. They didn't follow the Lord's command. The Lord said, don't make any agreements or covenants with any of the nations. Destroy them all. When I tell you to occupy, occupy. They instead made concessions. And those same nations they made concessions with and compromises with, those same nations turned them away from the heart of God. Those same nations had them falling into sin. Those same nations became a thorn in their side. We can't compromise with the world, y'all. We can't compromise and sit at the table of the devil and think that we're going to be okay and think that he will not try to steal, kill, and destroy our hope and our future. That's what he does best, you know? That's what he does best, is trick, deceive, lie. It's only the things of God that last. It's only the things of God that are real. It's only the things of God that abides in truth. And so I pray that these 10 things, you'll begin to pray every single day and begin to come into agreement with me to repent and be in that place of repentance, in that heart posture of repentance. Okay, just live in that space always, being ready and willing to repent, because we need God to have grace and mercy upon us for the things that we have allowed. Because for the longest time, the church has been the gate, and we've allowed things to come through that should not have come through. We need to be the gate once again and close the gate to things of sin, to things of the enemy that is not of God. We need to call sin, sin. Hell, hell, death, death, you know, no more softening words so that the world could eat it and drink, because the world eats all types of filthy stuff. So they can handle the word sin. We can handle it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If the Bible says it's a sin, it's a sin, y'all. Stop trying to accept things and play around with things. This is not the time for that, y'all. I'm telling you, it is not the time. If you don't believe me, just pick up a paper, and you don't even have to pick up the paper. Just go ahead and look at the maps, okay? Look at the Euphrates River, okay? Right now, you ain't even got to look at the news. Go type in Euphrates River. Look at the Euphrates River 10 years ago and look at the Euphrates River today. And then go to your Bible and ask Google for the scripture that talks about the Euphrates River and what the Lord has to say about the Euphrates River. And when you see the Euphrates River dry up, what that means. Go ahead and Google that. That's your homework for today. And after you Google that, go ahead and go and start repenting. Start repenting, get in the posture of repentance, live in that space, y'all. Live in that space for your family. Live in that space for your friends. Live in that space for your church. Live in that space for your loved ones. Live in that space of repentance. Because without repentance, there can be no submission and surrender to God. And we need to submit and surrender to God that His perfect will be done in our lives. I love y'all, and I will talk to you all 2 weeks. Hey girl, have you gotten your copy of Being Eve in Adam's World? No? Well, what are you waiting for? This book is a revelatory interpretation of the very first woman to ever walk the face of the earth. Although Eve's story is very brief, there is so much to be learned from her. Heck, the podcast was named after her. When you open up the very first chapter of this book, you will begin to travel through Eve's journey, a voyage of discovery that reveals the life of every woman in some way, shape, or form. At the end of each chapter, you will also find lessons from Eve to you. Each lesson derived from her personal experiences will be a guiding light on how to thrive in Adam's world. So get your copy of Being Eve in Adam's World today. You'll find the link in the show notes. Well, ladies, thank you for tuning in. I hope this episode blessed you as much as it did me. Before we depart, a quick reminder to head on over to the show notes where you will find all the info to keep in contact with Being Eve and to learn more about our guest. Make sure to let them know Being Eve sent you. Last but certainly not least, ladies, don't forget to review, share, and subscribe. This is your opportunity to let the whole world know where we gather for absolutely free. As always, ladies, please continue to love, live, and thrive without losing the authentic you.